Well, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I, along with Lacey, I'm right there with you, Lacey. Well, actually, I don't know if you, I thought you were going to comment about the weather, and then you didn't. I'm doing all, this is all happening real time in my mind right now, but I'm loving the weather. Aren't y'all loving this spring weather? It means several things. It means the azaleas are about to bloom, and it means the Masters is quickly approaching. Shout out to Augusta National. I am so glad to be with you this morning and looking forward to the word that God has for us today. And I love you, and I've been praying for you this week. I was praying for you this morning, just begging God to speak to us today because we need to hear from Him. I need to hear from God today. So let's all pray together that we receive a word from God. On the note of prayer, I cannot emphasize enough how much our prayer gatherings this year are going to matter for our house and for where God's taking us. We need prayer, and we need to be a church and a house of prayer. And that's our heart with these gatherings. It's a time to get together and worship and just pray and cry out to God in desperation for Him to guide us and lead us where He wants us to go and to bless this house as we want to do everything we can for His glory. So I just want to challenge you to show up next week, March 3rd, Sunday, 5 p.m. We will have some coffee for you if you're a coffee drinker. Maybe we'll have some tea. Lacey, can we have some sleepy time tea? I like the sleepy time tea, and it doesn't put me to sleep. It's just relaxing. Hey, we want you to be here next week, March 3rd, 5 p.m. We're going to have, we have five different prayer gatherings scheduled for the year, and I really encourage you to show up. Bring your kids. I'm going to have my two kids here, Piper and Ivy. They're nuts sometimes, and they're a little loud during the prayer, but hey, it's whatever. They're praying too. And even little Ivy, she closes her eyes now, like acting like she's praying, and then she says amen. I think that's holy. I think something's happening in her heart. But hey, I want to encourage you to be there. And I just want to also celebrate this. God is doing a work in our church. Can we just give a shout out to God for the work He's doing in our church? It's been incredible to see what He's done over the last 6 months in our house. We are quickly approaching 10 years since we launched Sunrise City Church, and it has been a journey. It has been a journey of ups and downs, of literally blood, sweat, and tears. Pastor Chris actually bled yesterday eating crab legs, of all things, for the sake of the gospel. I know, and he's got a Band-Aid on his finger to show you. But it has been quite a journey. But for the first time in our church's existence, we have been averaging over 100-plus people a week. So let's just give a shout to God for that. It's incredible. But what I've been dreaming about is not averaging 100 people, but 300 people, and not having a budget of 200 to 250 grand a year, but 700 grand a year, just thinking and dreaming about the possibilities of what God can do with our church in this city, because He's up to something special in this city. And so I just want you to dream with me about what it would be like if we were larger and had more resources to pour in and invest in the kingdom of God. I believe God's up to something special in our ministry, and we just want to surrender to that. And that's why we're emphasizing these prayer gatherings so much. We want to stay out of the way as God works. And that's what we're begging God to do. So before I get going any further, none of that was a part of the message, but my clock's ticking. If you look behind me, I have a clock and I am running out of time. Let me go to God in prayer. God, we're grateful for the work that You're doing in our midst. We're grateful that You have met with us here this morning, but we need You, God, to move today. We need You to speak to our hearts. We need a word from You. Lord, there's someone in this room, probably multiple people in this room, who are wondering if You're even alive and active. They need a fresh word. Lord, I need a fresh word. Would You speak to us? Would You move in our midst? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I was having breakfast with a guy named Lewis Miller a few weeks ago at Waffle House, and we were chit-chatting it up, and usually when I meet with Lewis, he speaks a lot of wisdom into my life, so it's a lot of him talking and me just sitting and listening and then asking questions, and then he talks some more, and he said this. He was quoting a guy by the name of Dr. John Sullivan, who used to lead the Florida Baptist Convention. He was the executive director of the convention, or you could call him the CEO. He's the one who led our state convention, and he said this. He's quoted Dr. John Sullivan. He looked at me and he said, David, you take care of your integrity and God will take care of your reputation. If you take care of your integrity, God will take care of your reputation. We all care about what our reputation is, or at least most of us do, you know, we want to be liked. I don't know if anyone's like, I never wanted to be liked in my life. I just want to be an enemy of everyone. I don't. And I'm kind of like, if I feel like my reputation's kind of messed up, I'm like, man, this doesn't feel good. I can't sleep well. Now, I want a good reputation. We read in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. We all want good standing with people. Even Proverbs, even the scripture speaks into, it's good to have a good reputation among other people. In the church, outside of the church, it's good to be in good standing with people. The difficult problem we face is we are all sinners, and we are living in a world that is full of sinners. And because we are sinners, living in a world that is full of sinners, we often torch our reputation. I've done it more than once. Horrible feeling. And so that's the problem. We want a good reputation, but we're prone to wander. The solution, it's a simple solution. It's Jesus. It's the gospel at work in us. Good standing with God leads to good standing with others. So that's why I'm going to lean on this big idea for today. If you take care of your integrity, God will take care of your reputation. We're going to talk about deacons today, but I want us to look at something specific worthy of respect. So when we read through the text, just note the times that Paul writes about being worthy of respect. Look at what Paul writes starting in verse 8 of chapter 3. Deacons, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They must also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. Wives, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. Deacons are to be husbands of one wife, managing their children and their own households competently. For those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I want to answer this question today. How do you live a life worthy of respect? How do you live a life worthy of respect? We're going to swing back around and answer that throughout the message. And then verse 13 actually gives us the full answer. So if you're wanting to check out a little bit, at least read verse 13 when you get home, and we're going to be successful. Who are or what are deacons? Who are deacons? Are they men? Are they women? Can it be both? What do they do? I want to talk a little bit about deacons. Deacons are someone who serves the church. They're helpers. They help the pastors minister. Usually when a deacon is referenced in the scriptures, you're actually just talking about someone who's doing basic service for God and his church. But here in this instance, when Paul's talking about deacons starting in verse 8, he's talking about an office held, a designated office held. I want to remind us that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, we read that all members are called to do the work of the ministry. Not everyone who serves is a deacon, but we're all called to serve God and his church. Deacons simply lead the way in serving. They are lead servants. That's what deacons do. They serve. Now, can deacons be men and women? This has been a discussion, a topic of discussion here in our house the last few weeks. The different roles that God calls men to fulfill and women to fulfill in order to accomplish what he wants to accomplish with his church and in the world that we live in. The answer to the question is, yes, I believe men. I don't believe scripture tells us that men and women can both serve as deacons. For the men's side of things, little easy to understand in our text. If you look at verse 12, we read that deacons are to be husbands of one wife, clearly signaling that there are male deacons. Write down Acts chapter 6, because in Acts chapter 6, that's a big text on deacons. Seven men were chosen to serve God and his church. But then we jump over to the thought of, can women serve as deacons? And I think there's a few different instances that tell us that women can serve as deacons. The first one is in verse 11. Now, our translation says it one way. Look at verse 11. wives likewise should be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful, and everything. There are two primary views of what Paul is writing about when he makes this jump talking to clearly men and jumps over talking to women. The Greek word there, don't circle this in your Bible because that would just be a weird word to circle in your Bible if you're one of those people. But the Greek word there is gunaikos, and you could translate that word wives. It's in the plural. It's a Greek word in the plural. Or women. Some of your Bible translations translate that word wives as women. You could go one way or the other. The NASB, New American Standard, that's one of my favorite translations. They actually translate that word as women, that word gunaikos as women. Something else to note about verse 11 is Paul says, likewise. That's a big telling point for us that he's kind of went from talking about men serving as deacons, and then he jumps over, likewise, let's look at some of the roles that women can play as they serve as deacons. Something else to note, Romans chapter 16, verse 1, this is one of the few instances you'll read in Scripture. By the way, there's not a lot of talk about deacons as the office, not near as much as we have about pastors in the church. But Romans chapter 16, verse 1, there's a woman named Phoebe who actually served as a deacon of the church. So we can reach this conclusion. Deacons are men and women who are lead servants of the church. They help assist in doing the work of the ministry. Now, a few weeks ago, when we were talking about pastors in the church, we stated that we are complementarian in our views of Scripture. You have two common views, egalitarians and complementarians. If you're wanting to do some extra work, by all means, start Googling that and you'll be studying all week. When it comes to deacons, we believe men and women can serve in this role. At Sunrise, we don't have any designated deacons. So you've never heard us say, yeah, you know, so-and-so, brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, that's one of the deacons of the church. Not that we're against it. Look, we believe within our bylaws, we have room to have deacons serve. But what we do have at Sunrise City Church are people who lead the way in serving here. I think of people like Ms. Lacey, who is just hosting for us. She is a lead servant here at Sunrise City Church. She not only leads us often when she does our hosting moment, she leads the way in making sure that people walk in feeling welcomed and loved and accepted. And hopefully you received a nice smile from Lacey. Not that I would do anything if you said I didn't. That's a weird comment. But Lacey is a lead servant here. I think of someone by the name of Chuck Benton, another lead servant of our house, serves our men faithfully. If we're grilling, Chuck's going to be working the grill, and it's always going to be good. He also makes a killer rice, by the way, some of the best rice in the world. Seriously, I'm not messing around. He's legit. But Chuck leads the way in service. If you need help, you can call up Chuck, and he'll show up and help at your house. He'll bring you food. Chuck, throughout the year, you never know what's going to show up at my house in terms of food. He's just bringing stuff, right? He leads the way in serving our body of believers. I think of someone like Aaron Egan, who is a lead servant here. She's always prepping the coffee. If you're liking what's in your cup, it's because Aaron's the one who brewed it up. That was on the fly, too. But Aaron leads the way in serving. Aaron, a couple of years ago, when my wife and I, we had a baby and we moved into a different home, she brought several meals over to our house that were frozen that she had made, and we could freeze them and then heat them up later in the week, served and loved on our family, and of course, serves our house well. There, and I have to mention my wife, Kelly, amazing servant. Well, yeah, now, yeah, right. Kelly's a servant. Those are just a few examples. I'm not saying that we're going to call Lacey a deacon or Chuck's now a deacon, you know, or Aaron's a deacon. I'm not saying that. These are just examples in our house of what lead servants can look like. And all of us can be called to fulfill these very important roles that we see laid out in Scripture. Application for all of us, though, is this. We're all commanded to be servants of God and His church. I already quoted Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. We are to do the work of the ministry. We know in Mark 10, 45 that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. We're all called to serve God in His church. You don't have to have deacon next to your name to be a servant of God in His church and to live out these qualifications given to deacons. But back to the question, how do you live a life worthy of respect? Verses 8 through 10, we get a general idea of how to do this. We'll read it again. Deacons likewise should be worthy of respect. That's what we're wanting to focus on. Not hypocritical, not drinking a lot of wine, not greedy for money, holding the ministry of the faith with a clear conscience. They must also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. There's a couple things we see in the text. First of all, one of the ways that we can live a life worthy of respect, or deacons can live a life worthy of respect, is to wholeheartedly pursue Christ-like behavior. Wholeheartedly pursue Christ-like behavior. Your behavior matters. You know, we looked at the characteristics of what makes up a pastor the other week. It matters how you live. Character matters. That's one of the pressing things we see to have a healthy church, is you need men and women who really believe how they live matters and that they practice what they preach. So one of the ways that deacons can live a life worthy of respect is not be hypocritical. Another way you could say it, not be double-tongued. Avoid spreading rumors about people. Deacons should be people that have integrity with what they say. Integrity in their speech. Now, not being hypocritical includes a lot more than what you say, but what you say reveals what's in your heart. Jesus, when confronting the Pharisees in Matthew 12, 34, says, "Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart." Deacons must cultivate a godly heart, and the heart will be revealed through what is said and what is not said, and that is for all of us. What you speak is ultimately what's going on in your heart, and what you don't say might reveal what's going on in your heart. Not saying we're all going to be perfect in our speech. I've had several slip-ups in my lifetime, but it always cracks me up as a pastor. Every now and then someone slips up and drops, you know, language that they're like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I don't usually say that. I'm like, "Yeah, but you probably do." You know, we all slip up and we all make mistakes with what we say, but it does reveal a little bit about what's going on in our heart. What we say matters, and how we talk matters. One of the ways we can cultivate a godly heart and have speech that honors God is pay attention to what we're filling our minds with and filling our hearts with, paying attention to what we're watching on television or the people that we are hanging around. So deacons must cultivate a godly heart. They must not be hypocritical, not be double-tongued. We should be careful what we say. Another thing we see is deacons shouldn't overdrink. Hello. That's another note on alcohol that we're seeing pop up back-to-back weeks. We said last week in terms of alcohol that we can reach this theological conclusion when it comes to alcohol. Christians have the freedom to consume alcohol. They do not have the freedom to consume alcohol excessively. So deacons should model what it means to handle alcohol well. I shared last week a little point of vulnerability that at this point in my life, I have chosen to abstain from alcohol. It's what God's called me to do. We are all simply those should model how to handle alcohol well and certainly pay attention to all the warnings in Scripture when it comes to alcohol. What's some other ways we can live worthy of respect? We see from the text that they should not be greedy for money or avoid the love of money. Another way you could word this, avoid dishonest gain. Here's what Paul's warning about. Church leaders should not use their influence in the church to make an extra buck. Avoid people like that. Avoid people like that. It's dangerous. So they shouldn't use their influence for financial gain. Something else we see is coming straight from verse 9. deacons should hold on to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. It's another way to live a life worthy of respect. Hold on to the teachings of Christ with a firm grip on the gospel. Don't abandon the redemptive truths of the gospel when life gets hard. Hold to the truths while living them out with a clear conscience, which only comes through living in obedience to God. There's a couple people, or there's one person in particular that Paul probably has in mind, is Stephen. First martyr we read about in Scripture in the New Testament, Stephen, who lived faithfully for King Jesus and ultimately died for the sake of the gospel. Certainly a man that held firmly onto the redemptive truths of the gospel when he faced a violent death. I was meeting with someone at Rocky Bayou Christian School just a couple days ago, and I was hanging out in this lobby, this new building there on campus, and they have different heroes of the faith up in their lobby. They had Harriet Tubman, Billy Graham. They had a guy named Jim Elliot. I've heard and read about Jim Elliot a lot, but never really connected with how young Jim Elliot was. Looking at the picture they used of Jim Elliot, he was a martyr for the sake of the gospel. Very young, died at 28 years old for the sake of the gospel. And I looked at that and I was like, man, would the 28-year-old me have been willing to sacrifice my life for Jesus? I hope, but certainly an example of someone who held firm to the gospel with a clear conscience. That's some ways we can live a life worthy of respect. Let's jump over to some specifics that Paul writes to women deacons. Again, verse 11, words it as wives. Wives, likewise, should be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. So women deacons are called to be worthy of respect as well. They are called to avoid slander, to not have any maliciousness in how they talk, no gossip. They should avoid tearing down the reputation of others. Note, please, a lot of discussion is had around how church leaders talk. Something also interesting to note, when you look at this word slander, in the Greek, this word is also translated to the word devil. So you want to be like the devil, gossip it up. We should avoid gossip and avoid being like our adversary, the devil. Something else we see is to the women deacons, but it's for all of us, is deacons should be temperate. They should control their behavior. And Paul also says they should be faithful in everything. Faithful in everything. I read it this way earlier this week. Faithfulness in everything requires faithfulness in particulars. What small little areas in your life are you lacking when it comes to faithfulness to God? Because faithfulness in everything requires us to be faithful in the very small particulars of life. Jump over to verse 12 or continue on in verse 12, we see back over to men. Deacons are to be husbands of one wife, managing their children and their own households competently. Just like pastors, deacons are to have eyes only for their spouse, but they're also said to need to manage their households well, manage their children and their own households competently. Too often, church leaders are one way at church and different at home. They live double lives. I was reading in a book earlier this week, a different book, to be just straight up. Some of the reading I do for school, let me put the book down. I'm tired of reading. But this guy was writing about his two most difficult people he's ever counseled. One was a pastor, and the other man was a missionary. And he really went into how these men had never experienced true heart transformation. They were saying one thing, they were sacrificing for the sake of the gospel publicly, but then you know what was going on behind the scenes? They were beating up their wives, So it was a heavy topic for him to deal with. The point is, we need church leaders who are the same in public and the same in private. Over my dead body, do I ever want to be someone who's one way on Sunday, and then Kelly's like, that ain't my husband, you know? And sadly, there's times where I'm not perfect, you know? I make mistakes at the house, of course, but we want to be both. You want deacons who are managing their homes well, leading their families to love God well privately, but also doing it publicly. If the gospel is not at work in the deacon's life at home, with his family, with his children, then whatever he does in the church will be mechanical, it will be forced, it will not be genuine. We are after being worthy of respect, and that's accomplished through Christ-like behavior. But I want to encourage you, don't take your need for Christ out of the equation. We can't pursue this type of godly behavior without Jesus. Secondly, you know what we see? Deacons serve well. You want to live a life worthy of respect? Serve well. Look at verse 10. Talking about deacons, Paul says, they must also be tested first. If they prove blameless, then they can serve as deacons. If you skip down to verse 13, he says, for those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Deacons, we have deacons need to be designated servants who lead in serving the church. Once a deacon proves blameless, Paul says they can serve the church. The primary thought that should come to our minds when it comes to deacons is servant. That's the word that should pop in your mind, servant. I was reading in a book earlier in the week. We have all sorts of thoughts that come to our mind when it comes to deacons. Maybe you think older men in the church. I read this. Some people think deacons are the people who sit in the front of the church. They meet together, and then they talk poorly about the pastor. What we want to do is completely remove all those negative thoughts we have about deacons, and let's think of some positive ones. I come from a church that has a long history of godly people serving in the role as deacons who just live it out. There's one man in particular by the name of Steve Morgan. Steve Morgan has faithfully served God and his church year after year after year. Steve Morgan taught me in Sunday school. Steve Morgan works the grill on the weekend. Steve Morgan, there was an addiction ministry that our home church back in Georgia used to do. Steve Morgan would serve at that. Steve Morgan was serving in the student ministry, and Steve Morgan faithfully served this church. Whatever need came up, Steve Morgan was there, by the way, along with his wife, Pam Morgan. This couple serves God Church faithfully. True example of what a servant, of what a deacon should be. You know what I've never heard Steve Morgan do? Have never heard Steve Morgan talk bad about the church. Have never heard Steve Morgan talk bad about the pastor. He just faithfully serves his church. To this day, that's the type of deacons that we need. That's the type of servant leaders we need at Sunrise City Church. That's what we're after. Deacons who want to be worthy of respect must faithfully serve. They must serve well. Notice what Paul says when you serve well. Those who have served well as deacons acquire a good standing. So those who serve well, those who faithfully serve God and his church, those who wholeheartedly pursue Christ-like behavior, those who serve well, they are the ones who acquire good standing. Remember what we said at the beginning? If you take care of your integrity, God's going to take care of your reputation. If you serve God and his church well, if you live faithfully to God, sacrificially to God for the sake of the gospel, if you focus and take care of your integrity, God's going to take care of your reputation. That's how you acquire a good standing. Faithfully serve the church. Serve well. Those who do the job right will see an increase in respect needed for effective ministry. Those who serve well will position themselves for future ministry opportunities and will have help along the way. This is how you earn a good reputation. This is how you live a life worthy of respect. It's a God-given gift given to those who serve well, given to those who wholeheartedly pursue Christ-like behavior and serve well. You know what else you acquire when you serve God's church well, when you serve faithfully, when you pursue Christ-like character, Christ-like behavior? Boldness in the faith, confidence in God, which is what we need now more than ever. Most people in the room would say, man, I want a bold faith. I want to faithfully stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. I want to boldly take the gospel to my friends and family members. Here's the answer to how you can receive that bold faith: is pursue the Christ-like behavior laid out in Scripture. Live in obedience to God. Serve well. Love people well. But remember, it's Christ in you that allows this to happen. Back on the note of prayer, there's power in prayer. We need to pursue Christ-like behavior. We need to serve well. This is not possible without strength from God. This is not possible without Jesus at work in us. We need more people who are the same person in their homes and in the church. We need more deacons, or we need more lead servants who are modeling Christ-like behavior and serving God's church well, especially here at Sunrise City Church. We have some incredible servants here at Sunrise. I could have listed 15 names. So if I didn't say your name, I can assure you came across my mind. I'm just throwing names out there. But man, we need more. We need more of these servants in the church. We need more people who are faithfully serving God and His church. And it's possible that God's calling you to step up and be more of a lead servant here at Sunrise City Church. But here's the question you want to answer: are you ready to say yes? Or are you looking at some of these characteristics thinking, man, I need some work? Here's something I want all of us to do this week, because we've just gone back-to-back weeks where we've looked at different qualifications that we are to live out, different behaviors we are to pursue. We've talked very much about specifics, but we need God in our lives. We need a touch of Jesus to pursue this type of behavior. So something that I frequently do to try to keep my mind and heart set on God and draw strength from God is pray Scripture. Pastor Chris prayed some Scripture when he opened up our gathering today. Prayed Ephesians 2. Praying Scripture is powerful. Here's a prayer I've been praying this week. It comes straight from Psalm 18, 1 and 2. This is what I've been praying all week. God, you are my strength. You are my strength. Lord, you are my rock. You are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer. You are the horn of my salvation. You are my stronghold, and I need you now more than ever. You are my strength. Would you be my strength? There's power in that. And then you know what else I've been doing? I've been praying that over my family. Lord, would you be Piper and Ivy's rock? Would you be their stronghold? Would you be the horn of their salvation? Would you be their deliverer? Would you be their refuge? Would you be the place they run to anytime they are needing help? There's power in this. So sometimes I think we get a little too focused on all the actions, and actions are important. Remember, what you say matters. What you say matters. Those are all important. But I want to try to stay far away from a do more gospel. The work has been done. And it was Christ. When it's Christ in you, it's how it's all accomplished. So that's my encouragement to you this week. If you're looking at some of these characteristics, some of this Christ-like behavior, maybe you're struggling serving well, I want to point you to the power of prayer. And you just look up strength. I need strength. You'll find plenty of Psalms that will give you strength. You're struggling with a temptation? Just Google. Yeah, Google. What are some Scripture on dealing with temptation? You'll find plenty pop up. And there's power in that. There's power when you pray Scripture. It's all through Jesus that we can accomplish this. But we need more servants now more than ever. God, we thank you for this word that you've given us today. Thank you for clearly laying out what you expect from church leaders who are called to faithfully serve your church. God, we need more men and women who will rise up and be lead servants of your church. We need them desperately here at Sunrise. As you have blessed us with growth, Father, would you bless us with more servant leaders who take seriously pursuing Christ-like behavior and serving well? God, give us the strength. Give us the strength to lead well. May you truly be our rock. Lord, may you be the refuge that we run to. We praise you that you are those things. We praise you that you are a fortress for us. You are our deliverer, regardless of what we're facing. We need people who truly believe that. I pray for the ones in the room this morning who do not have a relationship with you, and they know it. They're sitting there right now. They know. They don't know you. They don't have a relationship with you. They have not experienced true heart transformation, and every bit of the Christ-like behavior they show each and every day is manufactured. It's not a work of you. Father, would you point out their desperate need for you today? We thank you for Jesus, that he came, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross for our sin, for our shame. He rose again, conquering sin and grave, and he is indwelling people day after day after day, taking people from death to life. We praise you for that, and would you do a work in the lives of people who need it right now in this house this morning, Father? Would you do a work? Would you take people from death to life? We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, you can go ahead and stand up. We've got one more song we are going to sing of praise to God. If you want to come down here and pray, I just want to encourage you to come down to the front of our stage and cry out to God for help and pray. We need more prayer. And we need more servants who faithfully serve God and his church. Let's continue to worship. We'll do that through singing.